Hello and welcome back to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep, minute by minute, into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I am one of your hosts, Zach.
And I'm John.
And we are back on this lovely, lovely Sunday. And I say lovely in all sense of the word. It is a cool 80 degrees outside in Atlanta, and we get some overcast weather, and I am here for it, man.
Yeah. We're firmly in what is called false fall.
False fall, yes.
Where, you know, the high is in the low 80s, and it feels nice at night, and, you know, give it a couple weeks, and we're going to be back at 100 degrees, and we're going to hate our lives.
I fell for it. I was wearing a sweater yesterday in my home. Never mind the fact that I live with a polar bear who wants to keep the temperature like 65 degrees inside. Sure. Yeah, I had a sweater on when I was doing some work yesterday, and it felt real nice.
I often have sweaters on, but that's just because I'm anemic and am cold all the time, so.
You iron-deficient ass motherfucker.
Yeah.
Man, how you doing? Before we get into Dune, how in the world are you?
I am good. I am currently very tired. It's been a very busy weekend for me, but we're here. We're talking about Dune and, you know, excited to get into it. Yeah. Hopefully this week's going to be a better one than last week, because I just recorded last week, or I just edited last week's episodes two nights ago, and we had a lot of opinions last week.
It was
rightly so.
It was a low point for us, but that's okay.
Yeah.
You don't know the good unless you experience bad.
Yeah.
Just a peek behind the curtain. We had a birthday party this weekend.
Yeah.
My birthday party this weekend. Yeah. And it was very fun. I just want to say thank you again for manning the grill and taking care of them shish kebabs.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. I did, you know, thinking about it in hindsight, pretty sure no one actually soaked the bamboo skewers.
Oh, no. I completely forgot to do that.
Yeah, okay. Because I was like, these are burning very quickly. Hold on.
I was too busy worrying about the Philly cheesesteaks.
That's fair. Which were very good.
Yes, thank you, thank you. Two, like 3 foot long Philly cheesesteaks.
Yeah.
Some big boys.
Not one of each of those for you and I. To be clear, there were a lot of people at this party.
Yeah, there's like 10 or 12.
Plus, I mean, I can put friends. Down a sandwich, but goddamn.
Yeah, that would be a lot.
Yeah.
It was a good little party at my my parents' house. They have a nice little patio in their backyard. I say little, a nice big patio.
Yeah.
In their backyard, and it's a great little meeting space and a fairly central location to all the people who were there. So, yeah, it was nice get-together.
Yeah.
And then I got up the next morning and I finally flew a plane again.
Hey.
First time in a month. I haven't been up in the air, and boy, it felt good. New plane, new instructor. Yeah, it was awesome. I got to tell you.
Is everything just different now that you're on the ground?
I am more sad.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I feel like it's my mood is better when I'm flying.
Well, you're away from people when you're up there.
True. True. And the point is to stay away from them. You do not want to run into people when you're up there.
That would be bad. It's not like running into a friend at the grocery store or whatever.
No,
a little more explosive.
We want to keep your distance.
Yeah. Respectfully. Respectfully, back the fuck off.
Weirdly enough, I got to tell you, I went into this lesson with just being like a fucked up mentality. Because 12:38 or so on Friday going into Saturday.
Okay.
So Saturday morning, 12 a.m. Yep. Saturday morning.
38 minutes into Saturday morning.
Yep. A small plane crashed at PDK, the airport that I fly out of. And when I say like crashed at the airport, I mean like it crashed on the street that next to the airport. I don't know what happened, and fortunately, the three people who were in the plane survived. They're in the hospital. It looks like they're going to be fine. But the wreckage was still on the road.
It's very visible as you're driving into the airport.
Yes.
Oh, cool.
And it's like, it's maybe 100 feet before the entrance to the airport. So I get to see that, and it was the same kind of plane that I was flying. different school, different flight school out of there. But I was just like, I got to see that and then immediately go get in this exact same plane take off in the exact same airport. I was like, oh my God, this is fucking with my head. Yeah. So no, fortunately, everything went fine. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. So right, it's been cool. A good weekend.
Nice.
And now we're here to talk about some Dune.
We are.
And I brought up shish kebabs earlier. Let's get back to Shish Kali, who will soon be a kebab in her own right.
That was probably one of the like worst.
But also pretty good.
No.
Okay, we can cut that.
No, I'm going to leave that in there so you can, you know, be embarrassed.
That's fine.
You have no shame. Yes, anyways, yes, we are talking about minute 110 through 111.
Yes. I hope we get an uptick in goodness from this movie because, again, we've been a little bit in the dumps. We've been kind of shitting on it a little bit.
Rightly so, because yeah, there's important things that have been missed and, you know, we're really feeling those. But I think this week is going to avoid a lot of the us shitting on Dune. Probably the next couple weeks, I think.
I still have some things to say about this. Anyway, we'll get into it. Let's get into it, man. All right. So we pick right back up where we left off last week, naturally, with Shish Kali on her knees in the, I guess this is the Cave of Birds is the canonical name for this.
Heart and Soul doesn't have anything for it, so.
That Cave of Birds gets mentioned in the books right around this time.
Got it.
Completely different context, but it is a named place. And this is where the aviary was, so it does look like a cave, so I'm going to go ahead and call it the Cave of Birds.
That's, I think, a logical jump to a practical conclusion.
Right. as we left off last week, she was being interrogated by Fade, or I guess attempting to be interrogated by Fade. She's not saying much.
No.
She's on her knees, surrounded by goons, and Fade was reaching for something at the very end of last week's minutes.
What a goon sesh.
This is a goon sesh. This is like a 20-on-1 goon sesh. And
I've seen this video before.
Yeah, not that I know about this, but you usually have to pay good money for those. Not that I know, obviously.
Yeah.
So what Fade was reaching for was a Kris knife.
Yeah.
Presumably Shish Kali's Kris
knife. I would assume that at this point she's been disarmed.
Yes. Yep.
But we have seen some horrible negligence from the Harkonnen goons before. So who knows?
Yeah, exactly. So Fade says he wants someone to go tell the Baron that the North has been liberated and they can harvest spice at will.
Liberated and secured.
And secured. Thank you. Yeah. And he kind of walks over, you know, walks up to Shish Kali when she's on her knees and, you know, her hands tied behind her back. And he says, "You killed 9 of my men with one single blade."
Yeah. And he's like eyeing the Kris knife and he's like, he's like, "Ooh, I like this."
This one's not a notch off balance.
Perfectly balanced.
Yeah. Is that a Marvel thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. As all things should be.
Sure. Sure. No. Josh Brolin tie-in.
Hey, there we go. Yeah. We made it work. Oh God. No, but like as this is what I read from this, as Fade is like looking at the knife and walking up towards Shish Kali and saying like, "You killed 9 men with a single blade." It was almost like he was proud of her for being that ruthless.
Yeah,
no, there was definitely like some like facial expression that wasn't like all anger in the way that he was talking to her.
Yeah, no, he seems to respect that.
Yeah, as we've seen, Fade respects strength.
Yep,
you know, he respected Lanville, the strength that Lanville had, and the fight that he put up instead of just being a walking, you know,
just drugged up
plaything for Fade.
Right, right. And Shish Kali also looks proud when he says this. Like she looks up at him and she has this like defiant pride in her eyes.
Yeah, motherfucker, I killed 9 people.
Yeah, exactly. I'm surprised Fade, when he grabbed this blade, didn't just like swing it in a circle and cut the
killed a bunch of goons.
Yeah, just for fun. Yeah, just for funsies.
Yeah. Well, Shish Kali's done enough of that for today, I think.
Well, so. Yeah. So
a million goons are not enough for Fade.
So she's not talking to him, but Fade says that's okay. He's got everything he needs to know.
Yeah,
you know, he already knows everything, and he's handed this what looks like a pressure washer valve, like pressure washer gun,
something like that.
Yeah. This long nozzle connected to a tube, and we get like a specialized goon to the side.
Well, it's the flamethrower goon that we saw previously,
right?
So one would assume then that this is the flamethrower because it's also connected to a tube, connected to a giant like vat.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. And important to note that the goons that are standing behind her clear out real quick.
Yeah. A couple steps back.
Yep. And he, so Fade aims this thing at Shishkali, and then he says, "Only pleasure remains."
Now, when he first grabs the flamethrower and everything, she has a moment on her face where she's like, "Oh fuck." Like,
yeah,
that is the only moment of fear that she has. But then she quickly just like composes herself. And when he says, "Now only, you know, pleasure remains," then she's like hard staring him down with a lot of that defiance and everything in her eyes. And, you know, before we cut away, we hear the whoosh of the flamethrower go off.
Yeah. A little bit of a diegetic music. We don't see actually any flames.
No. Cause it's all from Shishkali's perspective, I think.
No.
It does cut back to Fade. Yes,
yeah. It's a rear shot where you can see both of them.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought that line felt clunky. Only pleasure remains. Like it was the last part of a conversation or a sentence that Fade said in his head. I don't know if you ever do that. I do that often where I'll talk to someone, I'll say something, but I've had half the conversation in my head and they're very confused when I say this random thing.
No, I think it's just like what I do where there's like long spaces between words. And in this case, there's a very long space between phrases within the sentence.
Okay.
Cause the whole sentence would be, "Tell her that's fine. I already know what I need to know. Only pleasure remains."
Okay. Yeah. I agree with that. It's still a clunky line.
It is, but you know, Fade's getting his rocks off, dude. Just burning people alive.
Yeah. So, rip in peace to, Shishkali. I would say we hardly knew you, but we knew you a lot better than Shishkali
than we did in the books. Yeah, so, that's for sure.
So, you know, a awful end to this character who I did enjoy. I mean, being the sounding board and kind of the balance to Chani was an important part, and they did it well.
Shishkali is not an addition to this movie that I don't like.
Yeah.
I think including her was really smart, just because, you know, once again, you have to look at it from the perspective of people that are not like us, that don't know a shitload about Dune, that need to have a way to be brought into the story. And I think Shishkali is the audience simplification of what's going on for, you know, normal people.
I don't think we've said it on the show before, and that's a pretty big miss on our part. But the actress who plays Shishkali, Suhaila Yaqub.
No, we said it. Did we? Yeah, I talked about Suhaila Yaqub like early on when we first were introduced to Shishkali.
Well, once again, major props because played the hell out of this character.
Yeah,
honestly.
Yeah, no, she does. She did a fantastic job, and like I said, definitely not a. Addition that I think either you or I could have any, you know, gripes about adding.
Nope. So. It was comic relief when it was needed. I got to, you know, level off Chani's anger and, you know, BS that happens.
Yeah.
Great character.
Yeah.
But we do not, fortunately, we do not get to, we don't have to see her end on screen because we cut to some worm riding.
Yeah.
And this is worm riding in formation.
We are moving with purpose here.
Yes. So we cut to someone, like it's a rear shot of someone with maker hooks driving a worm.
Yep.
Then we flash over to Stilgar looking pissed off that he's not outside of this tent. He's in.
He's still very fucked up. So
yeah, you can tell he's like, I shouldn't be in here. I don't want to be in, you know, coddled like
I'm
this.
Not in a bitch tent.
Yeah, right. So, and he's whatever like little pod that they're in. It's not the same seed pod as Jessica was in.
No, it's not a palanquin. It's an actual tent.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
And it's large enough to hold, at least by my count, there were five other people, including Stilgar and Gurney, in this tent with them. So it was, you know, decently large. And one thing before we get too far away from it, though, that I noticed is that you have the initial worm rider, but then off to the side of this worm rider, you have two other people standing there waiting to go. And that mm-hmm. makes sense because the storm belt, I'm sure, is slightly dangerous. And if something happens to the rider, you need to be able to replace them immediately. Otherwise, you probably lose control of the worm and then it becomes a disaster.
Yeah. Oh, I would imagine so.
Yeah.
Whatever's going in this, whoever's riding this tent obviously looks comfortable because one dude's just passed out behind Stilgar. So
that would be me. Just fucking passed out on a trip.
Yeah. You know this about me. I can fall asleep pretty much in any environment.
Same.
I love it. It's my favorite thing to do.
Yep.
Be it a car, a bus, inside of at a concert. We've been to plenty.
You have fallen asleep at a comedy show before?
Yep, a couple.
With a pizza in your lap?
Yep. I was very drunk that day. Yeah. Today, so, yeah, I love falling asleep, so I resonated with this guy. He's on top of a giant worm in a tent, and he's just like, hey, this is a good place to take a nap, dude. So get some shut-eye when you can, because you don't know when you're going to get it next.
Yeah. I might take a nap after this.
It looks like Chani's driving the worm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we get to see through the visor, and we don't get a full face shot here, but we can see the eyes, and it looks like Chani's riding this worm.
Well, you skipped over one of the most important things, was a very gruff Gurney Halleck.
Yes, I did.
Sitting at the front of the tent, just with his visor and everything on, and he's just doing his angry Gurney face.
Right. I did miss that in my notes. Yeah, he's brooding at the the front of the tent. So then we get an aerial shot, and it looks like there's around seven worms. Mm-hmm. I counted seven, all riding in formation. You know, this is impressive, honestly. I mean, to get seven worms together without them fucking killing each other.
Yep. Because as we've talked about, they're incredibly territorial animals.
Right. So, right.
And I feel like you can't just like hop on a worm and then tell it to, you know, stop moving.
Right.
Do you think worms are like sharks where they have to keep moving? Otherwise they're going to die.
No, no, I think they can stop because they spend a lot of time just like sleeping underground.
That's true.
I was happy to see that that they were conforming to whatever regulatory agency is within the Fremen that deals with riding in formation, because it looks like they were at least 100 feet apart vertically. And I don't think anyone paid for this, so it was no passengers for hire, which is good. You have to operate with collision avoidance, which seems like there was, you know, adequate
space. Christ, oh my God.
Now, the part that they didn't do, there's not a lot of communication going on. We didn't see any use of radio calls, and I didn't get to see their I guess, ride plan.
You can radio call this dick.
And I would have loved to have seen the safety briefing, the pre-ride safety briefing.
All right. Went into this. Do you have anything else for the minute?
No, that's it.
Okay. I'm taking over at this point. Fuck you.
Listen, it's cool.
We get it. You're learning how to fly.
I'm talking about flying. I'm talking about worm riding right now.
All right, dude. Well, Art and Soul has nothing for this that we haven't talked about already. But to briefly recap, all of the worm riding scenes were shot in Budapest on a giant slab of Shai Hulud skin.
Yeah.
That was on top of hydraulic systems to, you know, give the, you know, appearance at least of a giant jostling worm traveling at 50 plus miles an hour through the desert.
Nice.
So, you know, spoilers, this wasn't on an actual worm. So sorry to ruin everyone's fun there.
Well, that's only because they had some union problems and they couldn't get the worm in. So, this doesn't exactly crop up in the books. I mean, it's alluded to, and I'll save that for later minutes because it actually makes more sense to talk about the book portion of the story towards the latter parts of this week.
Okay.
So let's just get into that, and I have a lot to say about the books.
Cool. Then. Well, I think that's it for this episode, so we'll go ahead and wrap it there. And in the meantime, you can find the Dune Minute online. We are on Blue Sky at DuneMinute.com, and you can email DuneMinute@gmail.com. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts, also feel free to give the show a rating, and regardless of where you're listening, share it with your friends.
Yeah.
We'll see you tomorrow with another episode.
All right. See you then.